Thank you, Mr. Holloway. Good morning to all you brethren. It's very nice to see you all here. I trust that everybody had a good Thanksgiving. I brought this stopwatch up here with me to time myself to make sure I give Mr. Close about 10 minutes. So I better start that. Since I've never get a split sermon before, I'm a little worried about the time. Brethren, as I just mentioned, we have just celebrated a day of Thanksgiving that was declared by Abraham Lincoln in 1863, a little while before that. And it was a time in this country when the country was in the midst of a civil war. The South was trying to invade the North, and that invasion was repelled on the battlefields of Gettysburg in southern Pennsylvania. And it was a very bloody conflict and a very bad time in the country where the politicians and the population didn't know if the country would even cease to exist as one entity anymore. And we now come to the condition of our country today. And we're going to start by looking at two scriptures, which I think unfortunately succinctly describe our society and the attitudes which are in it. If you would turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3 and verse 1. We'll start by looking at a description of what our country and basically the world all throughout, the attitudes and the mindset which would be extant in the last days, which we find ourselves in now at the end of this age. Starting in verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, thankful, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Going back up into verse number 2, what I want to focus on today is unthankfulness. Right after disobedient to parents, you have unthankful and unholy. So that pretty much describes the attitudes that are extant. If you look out in the world around us, you have a lot of these characteristics all throughout our country, unfortunately. You know, what did most people do in this country on their day of Thanksgiving? They probably had a big meal, got together with some family. They ate themselves to death. They stumbled into the living room. They got onto the couch, unbuckled the belt, maybe the top button, even a few teeth of the zipper. They turned on CBS, where Detroit was playing Green Bay, and they slept it off for the next 3 hours. And I would dare say probably a large majority, if not the majority, didn't even have a prayer on the meal before they started. And that's kind of how most families, unfortunately today, conduct their Thanksgiving. We have a movement that started in this country about 6 or 8 weeks ago. It's called Occupy Wall Street. And if you had to describe that movement with one word, or one word that you would describe it with, I would describe it as being unthankful. Recently, Newt Gingrich, a Republican candidate for president, in one of the debates, was asked about the Occupy Wall Street movement. And he said, and I quote, "The Occupy movement starts with the premise that we owe them everything. They take over a public park that they didn't pay for, to go nearby to use bathrooms they didn't pay for, to beg for food from places they don't want to pay for, to obstruct those who are going to work to pay the taxes, to sustain the bathrooms, and to sustain the park so they can self-righteously explain that they are the paragons of virtue to which we owe everything. And I think that pretty much describes the mentality of the majority of those people that are part of that movement. A second scripture, or a second set of scriptures that unfortunately describe our society today, is Romans chapter 1. If you turn there with me, Romans chapter 1. We'll start by reading verse 21. And verse 21 has two parts to it. There are two things that people did not do, or people have not done, that have separated them from God. Of course, they're not being called at this time, but nevertheless, there's two actions, and there's results of those two actions that Paul talks about here. Romans 1, verse 21. And I'm going to read from the New English Translation. For me, it's a little easier to understand. For although they knew God, so in other words, they professed to know God, that they believed in God, the following two actions are what we see in our society today. Number one, they did not glorify him as God. Number two, they did not give him thanks, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their senseless hearts were darkened. And then it goes through the next nine or so verses about the results of, number one, not glorifying God, and number two, not giving him thanks, not being thankful. Verse 22, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for an image resembling mortal human beings, or birds, or four-footed animals, or reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the desires of their hearts, to impurity, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creation rather than the Creator. And I saw an example of this. I was watching Neil Cavuto sometime this past week. I think it was Wednesday. And he had a representative from PETA, the Prevention and Ethical Treatment of Animals, and the director of National Campaigns and Advertising. The gal's name was Lindsay Raitt. And what they did this year to keep people from eating turkeys, because they believe eating a turkey is hurting animals, they took a picture of a dog, of a family pet dog, and they put it on a turkey. And then they put the caption underneath that picture, "You wouldn't eat your dog for Thanksgiving, would you?" Supposed to make you feel guilty for eating turkey. And then this crazy lady went on to tell people how they should eat tofurkey, which I think is tofu and something else mixed together. And some other, she called it faux meats. Faux meats would be so much better to eat because, you know, turkeys have feelings too. Turkeys have mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and have children. And how would you feel by putting them in a scalding pot of hot water? And and she wanted nothing to do with that on her table. So they rejected, they don't glorify God. They're unthankful to God. And it just leads to what I can only describe as mental illness. I mean, it's what it comes down to. Continuing on down to verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to a depraved mind, which this lady was on the verge of it, to do what should not be done. Verse 29, they are filled with every kind of unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, malice. They are rife with envy, murder, strife, deceit, hostility. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, contrivers of all sorts of evil, disobedient to parents, senseless, covenant breakers, heartless, and ruthless. Although they fully know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but also approve of them who practice them. And that really sums up a lot of what you see on the news in this country today, unfortunately. The purpose of this split sermon is to show us that as God's people, we need to have godly thankfulness. And we're going to look at the results of godly thankfulness and what it will bring about in our lives. First of all, let's look at a definition of thankfulness. Merriam-Webster says that thankfulness is being conscious of the benefit of something received. Now, if you think about it, we receive everything from God. And most of the world is not conscious of that or chooses, you know, quite willingly to reject that fact. They don't want to acknowledge it, that God gives us everything and that we are to be thankful for that. But for us to have godly thankfulness, we need to be conscious of the benefits that we do receive from God. Now, I brought with me a little prop here. This is a water filter, in case you are wondering. There's a water filter that we use in our home to filter our water. Now, what's the purpose of a filter? Well, it's to separate things out, isn't it? And I have on here godly thankfulness. So if we use godly thankfulness as a filter, and in one end we have the attitudes of Satan, the characteristics of satanic behavior, and we also have godly characteristics, and we were to put this through our thankfulness filter, what will we get out at the other end? I'll put that right there. Well, the first result that we would have at what would come out the end of this filter is that, number one, we would have a heart of mercy. Turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, where Christ was speaking. And it's just a very, very direct point that Christ was making, and it's very easy to understand. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I mean, it doesn't get any simpler than that. You know, if you're expecting God to show you mercy, then you better show mercy to other people as well. Over in Matthew chapter 18, if you'll turn back with me to Matthew chapter 18, we'll read starting in verse 23, another example of mercy that Christ talked about. Verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven, likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So he owed a large debt, and he was going to have to basically go to jail and lose all his family and all his possessions until he was able to pay that debt. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So he had mercy on him. But the same servant went out and found one of his own fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Well, I'm not sure what 100 pence is, but it's a very small amount compared to what this particular individual was forgiven, his debt. And he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owest. And his fellow servant fell down on his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and cast him in the prison until he should pay the debt. So there's an example of someone who had mercy given to him, but he didn't have a heart of mercy. He went, somebody owed him a very small amount, threw them into prison. So a heart of mercy is the first thing that we're going to get if we have godly thankfulness. The second thing we're going to have, brethren, is that we will show kindness. Now, I think on the way to services last week, the Sachinas probably would have appreciated some kindness. I was rather shocked because we were talking to the Sachinas on the way home on the cell phone, and we had it on the speakerphone, and one thing that struck me, Mr. Sachina said that they hit the deer in the right-hand lane, and somebody stopped to pull the deer off of the highway, and then they got in the far left-hand lane and were waiting for some help, but nobody would stop and help them. And their car was emanating gases and radiator fluid, and it was obviously in distress, but nobody would stop. He said people just kept flying past them at a high rate of speed. So we live in a world that's not very kind, but if we have godly thankfulness, we will have kindness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and we'll look at an example of kindness. Second Peter 1, chapter 3, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then dropping down to verse 6, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. So the second thing that we'll have in our lives if we do practice godly thankfulness is kindness. The third thing we will have is humility. Humility. If you turn over to Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. We'll see an example of humility. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. And he spoke the parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And now this is a very well-known set of passages that you all know. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all I possess. And then the publican, standing afar off, would not so much lift up as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So the third thing that we'll have coming out the end of the filter after we pass it through godly thankfulness, if we have godly thankfulness, is humility. The fourth thing, the fourth godly characteristic that we'll have if we do have godly thankfulness, we will have meekness. Now, me growing up in the church, I've heard meekness through lots of different places and passages, but I guess I never really stopped to think about what's really the definition of meekness. So I looked it up, and another similar definition for meekness, or another word for meekness, is gentleness. We'll have gentleness. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Titus chapter 3. In verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work, to speak evil of no man, to not be brawlers, but be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So, if we have godly thankfulness, we're going to have meekness or gentleness. The fifth thing is that we will have patience. Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 1, and we'll look at an example of patience. Hebrews Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also were compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So Paul describes the Christian experience or living a Christian life as a race, and that we have to run that race with patience. And if we have godly thankfulness, we should also have that patience to be able to run that race. Another place that it talks about patience is in Isaiah, Isaiah 40. And at one time, we used to have the scripture framed in our living room, but I haven't seen it lately, so I don't know what's happened to it. But it's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon, in other words, they that have patience for the Lord, shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and shall not faint. So if we're having godly thankfulness, brethren, we're going to have patience. The next thing we're going to have, if we have godly thankfulness, is that we will bear or we will forbear one another. What's the definition of forbearing? If you forbear somebody or you bear another person, the definition of forbearing is to be understanding, is to be lenient, or to be patient with other people. To be understanding, lenient, or patient. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. And we'll look and see how we're to be bearing one another or forbearing with one another. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So Paul's saying that, you know, if we're forbearing one another and we have godly thankfulness, then we're going to be considerate of one another, we're going to be lenient of one another, and we're going to be patient with one another. The next thing that we're going to have, if we have godly thankfulness, is that we will forgive one another. Matthew 6, chapter 14, we'll look at an example of forgiveness and how we should be forgiving. Matthew 6 and verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So another pretty stark contrast as with mercy, that if you have mercy for somebody, God's going to have mercy on you. And the same thing with forgiveness. If we don't forgive people, God's not going to be very willing or wanting to forgive us either. The next thing that we're going to receive, if we have godly thankfulness, is that we will love one another. If you turn over to John chapter 13, verse 34, this is where Christ gives his disciples a new commandment. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So if we have love for one another, the world's going to know that we're Christ's disciples. Now the last thing that we will have, certainly not the last thing, but the last thing that we're going to look at this morning, if we have godly thankfulness, is that we're going to have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. It talks about the mind of Christ. Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, bearing of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself. Look not to every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So in conclusion, brethren, I don't want you to think that I'm some kind of biblical scholar, because I'm not. And I just didn't come up with these things on my own. Where did I actually get this from, these characteristics that we're supposed to have as a result of godly thankfulness? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And this is the godly what I call the godly thankfulness filter scripture. You can say that 10 times fast. The godly thankfulness filter scripture. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of Christ be in control in your heart. And if you go back to Romans chapter 1 verse 21, where we first started, it talked about glorifying God. And being in control of our hearts is one way to glorify God. And number two, here's the filter part of the scripture. Be thankful. Now, if we go back up to verse 12 in the same chapter here, you'll see the results of godly thankfulness and what passes through that filter. So starting in verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If someone happens to have a complaint against anyone else, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also forgive others. And to all these virtues, add love for one another, which is the perfect bond. So, brethren, if we have the filter of godly thankfulness, we're going to have those characteristics that we looked at this morning: a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness or gentleness, patience, forbearing one another, forgiving and loving one another. Therefore, brethren, not only as we did this past Thanksgiving, where men declared a day to be thankful to him, let us make sure that we're being thankful and we're having godly thankfulness every day.